Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in, Winning Cures Everything. It is Monday, April the 26th. I'm Gary.
I'm Chris.
And we have got Chris on the phone today, but you know what? We had to get our Monday show in. So we're doing it slightly early, but we got Chris on the phone, so we are ready to rock and roll. Again, like I said, we've both got things happening. It's going to be a fast one today, but we do have topics that we want to discuss. Before we roll with that, winningcureseverything.com is the website. You can find everything you need to know about us over there, and you can also find our college football show at sbrpicks.com/NCAAF, or just search out SBR Picks on YouTube. That is the easiest way to do it. That show comes out every Wednesday, so go and double check it. And we also, we do articles and whatnot every now and then, especially during the season. So go and check that out. SBRPicks.com/NCAAF. Let's go ahead and fire right into this thing. Chris, first off, how is your day? How's everything going with you?
Oh, man, it's fine. Just running.
Just running nonstop, right? I actually just got back home to the studio where I could actually call you to be able to do this. So, yeah, we've both been running quite a bit. I'm glad that things are going well. Hopefully it was a good weekend. I know we had a lot of fun with the UFC stuff. I talked about it yesterday. We won't talk about it on today's show because we're in kind of a hurry. But let's jump into the first topic, and that would be your boy, Vikings wide receiver Justin Jefferson. His get gritty emote is going to be available on Fortnite, and this is the first NFL player that is doing it. How big of a deal do you feel like this is? I mean, what's it? You know, obviously we don't know a ton about Fortnite. But
yeah, it's weird. This is not a world that I'm in. Okay, I don't understand the gaming world at all. I barely understand how to use the internet. And it's just one of those situations where I think it's a big deal, but I don't know how to equate it or monetize it or like put it into any type of like perspective of what it actually is. Because I don't know what an emote is. I know I just sound like a ridiculous old man, but, you know, I think it is a big deal.
So here's what the article from NFL.com actually says. Starting Wednesday, the Viking star receiver will have his signature dance, the Gritty, featured as a Fortnite celebration, which is also known as an emote. The game is apparently a huge deal within the NFL community. Jefferson will be the first player to be featured as part of the league's continued partnership with Epic Games. So basically what it is it's his signature dance that he does whenever he scores a touchdown or makes a big play or whatever. And it will be available for, you know, characters on the game to celebrate with and all that. And I think it's a big deal. I mean, this is a huge community. Obviously everybody knows how big Fortnite is, even if you don't play it.
Yeah. Oh, so, no, yeah. Yeah. Very well aware of what Fortnite is and its reach. Absolutely.
Yes, it is massive. So, you know, this is about as big as it gets for somebody. McKinnon jumps in on Facebook, by the way. Oh, anybody that wants to jump in on the chat, you are welcome to do so. Anything, any of the different platforms that we're on right now will populate right there in the bottom left-hand corner of your screen. So happy Monday to you as well, McKinnon. Jefferson told DeStefano, every time I scored, I was doing it. Everybody was just wanting or waiting for me to do it when I made it to the NFL. He said that he knew that this dance was going to follow him to the pros. He hit the dance on a national stage against Texas. It became the Tigers' go-to celebration during their ensuing national championship run. Like, this is... The videos of it are really, really cool. So
yes, I've watched a lot of the videos today as I've been running around and playing on my phone, and just interesting going down the Justin Jefferson rabbit hole. I just watched out and I shared out to our group text with the guys a video basically by NFL Memes, I think, on Twitter, shared out. It's basically the Vikings organization laughing at the Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
Because they knew the Eagles were going to take a receiver. And when they took Jalen Reagor and not Justin Jefferson, like, how did he get right then? Get on the phone, get him on the phone, let's take him. And they're just laughing. Like, this is the guy we want. This is the guy we thought was the best receiver. And what he has done in the NFL this year so far, you know, if you're an LSU fan, if you're a Vikings fan, if you're a nonpartisan member of just an NFL fan, you love Justin Jefferson. You love what he's doing. You know, it's the rivals of him that don't, and that's okay. That's the way the sport's supposed to happen. But he's just one of the funnest, seemingly the best dudes, you know, out there, and he's performing, basically outperforming every measurable metric that they thought, you know, they would get from him in the league.
Yeah, you are correct. I obviously love him. Like, I've been a fan of what he was capable of doing. Now, I am an Alabama fan, so it is incredibly difficult to do so, but there's no way that you can't root for the kid. And this is a big deal because it kind of introduces more kids to the NFL game, and I think that's what they're doing with this this partnership. So I'm a fan of it. Anything you can do to draw more eyeballs, even though they are already the highest rated sports programming in the country, maybe the world, outside of soccer, I guess. But anything you can do to get more people interested in the game, I think you have to do it. So I think it's a smart move. We'll move on from that one, and let's talk about this. Madison Bumgarner pitched in Atlanta on Sunday afternoon for a 7-inning game and threw a no-hitter. And now we don't really know exactly what to do with it, right? So this all came about because of the coronavirus pandemic and whatnot. They were trying to get in as many games as possible without wearing out the players. And what they did was they moved the doubleheaders to only 7 innings apiece so that you don't have the possibility of extra innings, you know, to where players are playing 18 to 20 innings a game, in one day. All of this different things, it's a change. And I don't know if it's here for the long haul or if it's just here for these two seasons or what, but they had, you know, 2 7-inning games on Sunday, and Bumgarner threw a no-hitter in the second game. So, Chris, apparently it's not going to count as one. Would you count this as a no-hitter?
No, I wouldn't. It's about getting 27 out. If you were to cut off, I know that he couldn't get more out because of the length of the game. Like, it was over. I understand that. But if you were to cut off no-hitters and perfect games after 7 innings, I bet there would have been over 1,000. I mean, I can't tell you how many games every year go into a no-hitter or a perfect game going into the 9th inning. And even more than that going to the 8th inning. And so with that being said, you just can't do it. Bumgarner, you know, he's fine. Listen, this is not somebody like Steven Strasburg who just seems to be frail and care about what people think of him. Like this is a guy that doesn't give a shit, okay? He's just a country boy that is a hard-nosed ball player. He don't give a damn if you credit him with the no-hitter or not. He wants everybody out, all right? That's it.
Yeah.
And that's it. The other thing to speak of this is they played 14 innings Sunday, right?
Correct.
The Braves only got one hit in 14 innings. The collective group of pitchers that pitched in the other game only gave up one hit.
There is such a such a thing as a bad day. So, you know, in sports, they talk about, I just had a bad game. Man, when you play two games in the same day and you can't get a hit for nothing against different pitchers, that's a bad day.
Yeah.
So the league said on Sunday that it would abide by the definition of the Elias Sports Bureau. No hitters by teams and individuals shall not be credited in scheduled seven-inning games unless the game goes to extra innings and the team or individual in a complete game pitches at least nine innings and does not allow a hit.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense.
Because it's the exact same as if it's a rain-delayed game. If you go seven innings or eight and a half innings or whatever it is, and the rain and the game like gets delayed, but you had a perfect game going into it, it doesn't count. It's fine. Like, they're going to call the game, and then they're going to whatever the final is going to be the score in the books. Like, you're not going to make it up. You're not going to start it over. Once you're past, I think, five innings, like, the game is officially in the books, and therefore, you don't get the perfect game if it was called because of some lightning delay or power outage or, you know, act of God. So, this is the exact same thing. I don't even know that it sucks. It's just one more accolade that Bumgarner doesn't get to put on his belt, but he's got a ton of them. He's one of the best pitchers in our lifetime. Now, he's obviously a little long in the tooth, and his best days are behind him, but this was an unbelievable outing, obviously. And I can't count the number of pitchers that would have no hitters if we only played seven innings.
Yeah.
That's the only reason you can't do it, is because then – what do you do with all these other guys that have had 70 no-hitters or, hell, perfect games for that matter?
Yeah, no, that's a valid point. Bumgarner, you talked about him being a little long in the tooth. He signed a five-year, $85 million contract with the Diamondbacks in December 2019. He had been 2-6 with a 7.16 ERA in 13 Arizona starts, none lasting even six innings. So this was
coming off an injury. When he left the Giants, he had hurt himself twice, like riding quads, like riding four wheelers on his damn ranch in the off season and stuff like that. And he just wouldn't stop. He just would never slow down. And because of that, he just stayed hurt all the time. But it wasn't baseball injuries. It was always, you know, off the field injuries. And I just think the Giants are tired of that stuff, and they traded him. And then the Diamondbacks have kind of, you know, they supported him. But if he's healthy, man, he's a monster. He's just a monster.
Yeah, he has thrown four one-hitters, including three that were no-hitters through seven innings. So he said on Sunday he probably could have completed it this time, which, of course, you're going to say that, right? I mean, I was feeling good.
And well, and he should say that, by the way. That's what makes him great.
No, I mean, it makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. Let's talk about, a little more LSU news now. And like I said, this is going to be a quick one today, so we are rolling through it. But your LSU Tigers women's basketball team hired Kim Mulkey, who, for those that are not familiar with the sport, she was Baylor's head coach. She won three national titles, made it to four Final Fours at Baylor, was the second highest paid coach in women's basketball under Gino Auriemma, the legendary UConn coach, and now she is the highest paid coach in all of women's college basketball, making the report is about $2.5 million annually. And this, I don't think that this was necessarily money. She was at Baylor for 21 years. I think this was a situation where she wanted to go home, right? And she played at LSU. She is the first person in NCAA women's basketball history to win a national championship as a player, an assistant, and as a head coach. She's won an Olympic gold medal in 1984. Like, incredibly, what's the word? Accomplished. There we go. Incredibly accomplished. And it's strange to see somebody that's 58 years old that has spent two decades at one school finally decide, you know what, I'm going to go back, you know, over to where I came from. I think, is there something more to it being in women's basketball, or is it just sometimes people just want to go home and try and fix a situation that they know that they can fix?
Well, you never stop loving the things that you love, okay? And this is a lady that grew up in Louisiana, all right? And even, hell, even people like Coach O didn't even go to LSU, okay?
Yeah.
But if you live in a state like Ohio or Arkansas or Louisiana, and there's one major powerhouse school, and all the rest of the schools are just much smaller or private, everybody in the state roots for that one powerhouse. Every person that goes to Tulane that is from Louisiana loves LSU. Every person that is from Louisiana that goes to Louisiana, La Tech, Louisiana Monroe, they all love LSU. But you find the same thing in Ohio. You find the same thing in Arkansas. And I'm sure there's probably other states like that that I'm just not thinking of. But those are just three big ones that I associate with and I know I'm around. But there's a love for that place, and that's never going away. And if you have the opportunity to go work there and to go do great things at a place that you actually have this emotional tie and nostalgia for, it's not a dollar figure. But LSU didn't make it about a dollar figure. They made her the highest paid women's coach, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, and I misspoke, by the way. It was Louisiana Tech where she played and coached.
Yeah, I was about to say, she didn't go to LSU. No, do that.
Yeah, but she's from Louisiana, so...
Yeah, yeah, she's from Louisiana, and you grow up loving. I mean, that's just how it is. Every person I knew when I was working in Jonesboro, that went to Arkansas State or worked at Arkansas State, 100% of them were diehard Hog fans. All of them. If you cared about athletics at all, you were not one person. They all liked Arkansas State. That's the school they went to, but they loved Arkansas.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's the state school. That's the way it works. Brown Yeti jumped in, said, "Sup, fellas." He said, "Turtle power." That's in reference to my story last night about the Florida turtle that smashed through somebody's windshield on the highway. And Akbar jumped in, said, "What's up, guys? Happy Monday. Let's cash some tickets." Nice to see everybody in, of course. Thank you for jumping into the chat and for watching the show. We appreciate you guys for sure. Kim Mulkey, I think it's a little bit uncommon to see somebody that is that accomplished decide to leave a place that she has become super comfortable with. But, I mean, she's been there for 21 years. You know, maybe it was time for a change of scenery. Who knows? But I'm excited about it. We will see what LSU does. But, you know, this is one of the good things about having these gigantic TV contracts from football, right? You have the money to be able to spend, even though LSU women's basketball has not been great for a while. You know, you now have the money to be able to support that program and go and get somebody that knows what they are doing that can turn it around. I'm going to assume that you were pretty excited to watch the women coming up this coming season, right?
Yeah, and let me tell you this. This didn't go unseen in my mind, okay? There's a lot of LSU's got obviously some Title IX issues, okay?
Yes.
We have potentially two great predators that roamed LSU for a couple of years that are, I guess, alleged predators. It doesn't hurt that LSU is one of the, you know, national favorites or national powerhouses in gymnastics. They just had the winningest volleyball player in all of NCAA history just is going to graduate this year, just finished her volleyball career at LSU. The softball team is getting a lot of support right now, and then now getting women's basketball team. Like, putting women's sport on the forefront and making it a priority is not a bad idea for the athletic department at LSU right now, trying to say, listen, we had problems in the past, but today we support our women's programs, and we're not just going to support them and cheering for them and hoping they do well. We're going to give them the funding. We're going to give them the resources, and we're going to bring in the best coaches in the world for this. And we're going to be known as a national powerhouse for women and women athletics. That doesn't absolve any mistakes or problems that you've had in the past, but it shows you're trying to be better. I see that. I'm not, you know, so naive to think that, hey, we got a lot of Title IX problems. It probably wouldn't be a bad idea if we tried to make our women's sports as good as we can, in a place where young women want to come to LSU, and maybe erase some of that ugly past. So that was something I thought about.
It's a really smart idea. When you think of it from that perspective, right?
If I was the athletic director, I got all this cash. We can only build so many weight rooms. Okay. Once you have the nicest facilities in the world, I'm very much against the waterfalls and the putt putt courses and all that stuff. Like, no, put that shit in the actual stuff that people need. Like, yes. Let's stop the charade of what this is. And if you need to start putting it into women's sports, then that's what LSU probably should make a priority.
I think it's a smart idea. I think go and get the best coaches and become a powerhouse at as many different sports as you possibly can. I think it's smart. I think it's absolutely smart.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So speaking of, you know, powerhouses and all that, let's move on. Friday night or Friday afternoon, it was dropped from the CFP committee that they have started discussing ideas for college football playoff expansion. Now, like I said, we can't spend too long on this. We are going to go in-depth in it on the college football show over at SBR. So again, check out sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. That show will be out on Wednesday. But they announced they have looked at 63 different options for a 6-team, 8-team, 10-team, 12-team, and 16-team playoff. It's probably not going to happen within the next couple of years. But the contract is up in 2025, and then we'll see. Now, could it happen before 2025? Yes, but you would have to have all 12 members. That's the 11 presidents and chancellors and whoever else is associated with it. If you have to get all of them unanimously to approve this before the contract can change. And at that point, you have to enter negotiations. It's just a whole thing. But after 2025, anything is possible. Chris, what were your thoughts here? Did you, you kind of feel good about this?
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to get expansion. Okay. I don't think you float this out there if you're not going to. Like, there's no way you can float this out there and then 10 years from now, we're still doing the 14s.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't make any sense. I think they're trying to do a little bit of let's read the tea leaves and let's see what people think kind of thing, which is probably smart, but also you're going to get a whole lot of uneducated people's opinion about it that are just a set in their ways or they don't understand the importance of more in a situation like this. But I think we're definitely getting something. The beauty of doing it this way is, like, under a normal, the way college football would always work is, so let's say when this contract is up, they would add two more teams, and we'll make it a 16 playoff. And then we'll do that for a decade and a half. And then, you know, we might add two more and go to 8 teams. And then, you know, maybe my kids will have kids that will one day see an 18 playoff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
But having the conversation the way they're having it now says, you know, they're not opposed to going straight to 8 or even making it bigger. And that I guess gives me a little bit of hope. I just want forward. Listen, I'm not the guy that likes change just for change's sake, but I do think you need to change the sport of college football. They have made it to where the champion is all that matters and none of the rest of these games matter. Well, you can't say you love the pageantry and then say nothing matters but the champion, because those two things don't make sense.
Exactly. Okay? They have fundamentally shifted the foundation of college sports, like of college football. They have made it where nobody else matters other than, it, especially in college football, than those four teams that make the playoff. So if that is the purpose,
if you get blown out in that playoff, you don't matter either, and all we do is say, well, the next time you get a chance, we're not letting you in because you suck. That's not what this is supposed to be about. It's just not. The year that LSU ran through everybody 2 years ago, last year when Alabama ran through everybody and they didn't play anybody close, the justification says is why make it bigger? Nobody was beating them. That's not what matters. If you let Cincinnati in and Cincinnati matches up against Clemson and Cincinnati pulls that upset, That matters. That's a big deal.
Or, you know? Even if Ohio State and Alabama still rolled through everybody and you got Cincinnati against, say it was 16 teams and Cincinnati and Georgia made it in and Cincinnati found a way to pull that game out.
Yes.
That's massive. Even if they didn't, you would still get a game that mattered that came right down to the wire, that came to a last-second field goal. That's a playoff game that actually sent a team further into the playoffs. Those things matter
and
in this
it changes, and it changes that school forever. They don't even have to win the upset. How many big-time college basketball teams go to the wire with some of these young, just lit, not maybe not young because most of these teams are more experienced, but like just these no-name programs that nobody's ever heard of before that get a tournament, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it changes the whole trajectory of everything.
Those highlights live on forever in that school.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I think about Valparaiso. Everybody knows Valparaiso because of Bryce Drew and what he did against Ole Miss back, what is that, 25 years ago, 20, however long ago it was. I mean, it's a long time. Let's see. Brad's Crazy Life said, I'm in Mississippi today, boys. We need 16 teams, period. And then McKinnon said, so if we expand the playoff, where do we all think it should go as far as number? I'd like to think it'd be good at like 8 to 10 teams. That might extend it too long for some people. But with the NFL season expanding, I can't imagine being too much of an interference. Brown said,
I've been on the 16 team forever. Gary has finally converted over to 16. He saw the error of his ways and saw the light. And I think there's no reason to not do it. Okay. To say the season lasts too long. As soon as the season's over with, 1 week later, everybody's in God dang withdrawals from having not college football. Okay.
Yep.
So to say it lasts too long is just the most bullshit reason you could ever give.
I will tell you this. I don't know that there's a way to do 16 without cutting back on the number of regular season games. And you would certainly have to cut out the conference championship game. So the playoff and
the conference
ESPN,
championship game got to go even if we go to 8.
Well, but the only way to get it to go is to for ESPN or whoever ends up with the rights to the playoff after 2025, whoever ends up with those rights would have to pay enough to the conferences right off the bat to get them to do away with the conference playoff or the conference championship game anyway, because that is a massive cash cow from a television angle, from the butts in the seats, you know, all that. It's just a massive, massive moneymaker for them. They're not going to just do away with that on their own. So,
But both of the teams and all the, if they go to 16, all of the teams in the Power Five that make it to the conference championship game, almost all of them are going to be in the playoffs. So
yes, typically, but you know,
almost they're going to be your situations, you know, where there's not where the losing team doesn't, but like almost all the rest of them would be in the playoffs, and therefore those conferences are going to get money for those games. They're like it's going to equal out to be the same.
Yeah, that's I think you're probably right, but We'll see what they end up doing. I am curious about it.
Those two teams don't have to, hang on. Alabama and Georgia don't have to play each other for both of them to make it to the playoffs. They're going to go to two different venues, but their fans are still going to get like gate. They're still both going to get in the game. The money you're going to get from both of those games, your half of both those games is going to equal the same as if they were both playing in one game, maybe more because now they're spread across. And then if your conference is like the SEC, you're undoubtedly going to get three teams in a lot of the years. So basically every other year you would probably get three teams in instead of two. That just has to – like somebody has to sit down and do the math and say, this is stupid. Why are we not doing this? And if you're the Pac-12, you're getting left out of this pony all the time. So now you never get left out. If you're the ACC or the Big Ten or the Big 12, sometimes you get left out. So, you know, now you don't have to worry about ever getting left out ever again. So the SEC, it was the one where their conference tournament makes the most amount of money, their conference thing. But, like, it would make more money because now we get three teams in the damn deal instead of two. And we assume our teams are going to last longer. And so as long as we get one horse at the end of this thing, we're just going to keep getting extra games.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I I have to assume, because there are years where, you know, the Pac-12 champ is not a top 16 team or whatever. You have to make it worthwhile for them as well.
I literally have a heart out. I have to get out of here in like 8 minutes. I want to address that we got to cut the regular season schedule back, because that is just bullshit. Right now they play 12 games of a regular season, all right? Then they play a championship game, okay? That's 13. And then if you win the championship, you played 15 games, right? So if you add two more games to that, 16, 17, 70% of the guys that are playing in the playoffs are about to graduate or finish up and go to the NFL, where they're all going to play 17 regular season games.
I wonder if the NIL changes it.
You've got 100 players on your damn team. The NFL's got 56.
I wonder if the NIL is going to change this out.
Are you kidding me?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I wonder if, because the players will start being paid with the NIL, I wonder if that changes the way that they look at this. Because before, a big excuse has been the safety of the players, making sure there's not too many games, they don't want it to be a two-semester sport, all that good stuff. Matt Miller jumped in, by the way, and said 10 regular season games, 8 conference games. Like, I'm down with that. I'm down with whatever.
I'm fine with that, but I want zero pay-per-play. I want that number to go zero. That means you don't get to play. LSU doesn't get to bring McNeese State in and pay him $1 million to kick their ass. We're done with that. McNeese State's just going to have to get their money somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. By the way, Matt Miller said Chris is looking smexy. I put your picture up on the screen today. It's the one from our old Tunica days. So, let's see, Casey jumping in with Lance going second or third. That's a guarantee. Matt Miller said Fields is who he's referring to as far as second best quarterback. You know, a bunch of NFL draft stuff. Reminding everybody, of course, NFL draft. We are live streaming with our boys from the Westlot Pirates this Thursday night. We are going to let Chris get out of here, and we are going to close out the show. Chris, I'll go ahead and let you jump out. I know you got a heart out, so I'll highlight you later. So we'll close out the show with this. You guys talking NFL draft. We will be on with the Westlot Pirates Thursday night on this YouTube channel. Right here, 7 p.m. If you are not subscribed already, go ahead and make sure that you do. Hit the little bell for the notification for when we go live. We will have another live show on Wednesday. And then Thursday night, 7 p.m. is when we're going to go live. We will spend the next couple of days, you know, talking some NFL draft, running through. Casey said Lance is the second best quarterback, followed by Jones at third, Fields at fourth, and Wilson fifth. Jones, Fields, and Wilson are all career backups at best. I don't agree with that whatsoever. Trey Lance, you've only seen one season. In his national championship game, he threw the ball 11 times. The coaching staff didn't trust him to throw the football to win the game. And they didn't have to. That's a running team. They ran over everybody when they were in the national championship, you know, back in 2019. But, I don't buy the Trey Lance hype. Casey, Jones might be a journeyman Fitzmagic type. He might be. Or he might be exactly what the 49ers need. You never know. I think that he's pretty fantastic. Coaches rave about him and his ability to break down defenses. You saw it last year. I mean, he was pretty incredible last year. And I understand he's got a lot of talent in Alabama. But, you know, Tua didn't win a national championship as a starter. So, I don't know. Casey said it's the upside, Gary. It's Mahomes high. He's going to be a superstar. And we've said that about a lot of guys. You know, we have said that a lot. And I wish that I could buy into guys the same way you do, Casey. But I can't do it. I can't do it. All right, I'm going to get out of here. I've got a heart out as well. You guys have been fantastic. Thank you for jumping in with us a little early today. We got a lot going on today. A lot going on. Both Chris and myself are different jobs and our current combined job with SBR and whatnot. So I'm going to go ahead and close it out. Brad's Crazy Life said Jones is smart as hell. Yes, he certainly is. It's been shown multiple times. He is ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous at recalling information, and you can't teach that. So anyway, we'll be back. We'll talk more NFL draft on the Tuesday night, Wednesday podcast, whatever it is. We will talk more NFL draft on the Wednesday live show, Thursday podcast. And then, of course, Thursday night, we've got our NFL draft. We'll be here live. Hopefully you all will join us. Go to winningcureseverything.com. Go to sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. And I think that is going to be it for us. So you guys, take care of yourself. Take care of each other, and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week.
Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.